Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening, everybody. Welcome to Pop Culture Stars. I am your backup plan, contingency side chick, Dave Atwell, hosting tonight. I hope everybody's doing well and is safe on this St. Patrick's Day. Here in Jacksonville, things are going well. We've got some decent temperatures. Of course, everything's supposed to go to pieces tomorrow night as we're supposed to have the death storm of the century passing through here. But nevertheless, it's a good night to burn a cigar from Godfather Cigars and enjoy a malt beverage with a blue ribbon on it. So while I am doing that and lighting things up, I'm going to introduce my most esteemed panel for the most part. Todd Saxon, my brother, how you doing?
Outstanding to supernatural and ecstatic to be here, man. I am, it's funny that you had mentioned that it's warm. I tell you what, it's not actually warm like it has been some nights, but it's a lot warmer than it was all day yesterday, and it feels warmer than it was all day today. Just saying, because it's been pretty blah. And you did touch on what's heading our way. Man, they got a pretty heavy forecast in there. It's I seen milder forecast for a Cat 4 hurricane, just saying.
Yeah. I was just reading before the show, and I was shaking my head. I'm like, oh, boy, you know, here we go. That's all I need, you know, just something to blow my fat ass all the way to Kansas. You know what I mean? It's the way March is going for me. I might as well go ahead and get it done. So, yeah, hopefully everybody in the area will be able to stay safe, be inside, and, you know, just letting this thing blow through and getting back to business in the morning, hopefully. So, Todd, good to have you aboard. And way up there in Indianapolis, where possibly the snow is still deep. Brother Tim, how are you doing?
Well, I'm not in any snow. It's actually trying to warm up a little bit here, too. It's 60-degree weather. Today was overcast, but, hey, the permafrost has turned to mud, so it's a step in the right direction, figuratively speaking. But doing wonderful on this St. Patrick's Day. I'm sure they're partying in Savannah, Georgia, as they normally do. I've been there once or twice on St. Patrick's Day, but looking forward to a nice, relaxing show with the three of us, and ready to get us started.
I hear you. Outstanding. Yeah, glad to hear things are getting warmed up. I imagine you've had your fill with the white stuff for another season, and time to get it green until November-ish, I would imagine, when it starts getting nasty up there again. So, yeah, good to have you aboard this evening. And look forward to the show as we will be carrying it. We've got Dr. John a little under the weather this evening, so he will be resting. And, of course, Granny Hulkster has family issues to take care of. I don't mean issues like bad news issues, just having some procedures going on tomorrow. I'll put it to you that way. So she needs her rest so that way they can get to the hospital early in the morning. And our good brother Velvet will be with getting some rest tonight as he's been starting some treatment. Nothing but good thoughts going his way, thinking all the best because he's one hell of a good guy, and we want nothing but better calm seas for him. So, Velvet, if you're listening, buddy, we're wishing the best for you, and got you in our thoughts and our prayers constantly. All right.
Most definitely. And I do want to know if you actually did dress up as a leprechaun today while you went in for treatment. I think that would have just been outstanding. and I've got an idea for him for later in the week. Here we go. I might as well let the cat out of the bag in case he is listening and start planning ahead. You know, it's kind of stuff you got to have somebody taking you to and from. I'm thinking given Velvet's that what he and whoever takes him should be dressed exactly the same. And that way, every time they stick him with a some type of needle or whatever, the other person could scream and holler. He could be there like he's a voodoo doll.
Yeah, there's no telling. He'd make a good one, though. That'd be a good show. He's just got to be able to keep a straight face, which I'm sure he wouldn't. That's where he dropped the ball.
Yeah, I imagine he'd be right back to cursing me, which is not the first time. But yeah, brother, we love you, miss you, and make sure, Anthony, we know you got a procedure tomorrow as well. So, but yeah, Velvet, we want to make sure you're good, brother.
Yeah, without a doubt, we're missing everybody this evening. So, but I do believe the three of us can carry things this evening because we are those types of guys. So, moving on forward into the show this evening, Todd wanted to speak a little bit about St. Patrick's Day and all the nifty food.
I did.
the think tank. But, yeah, this evening I dined on some corned beef, and I didn't do the cabbage thing. I'm not a cooked cabbage guy. I did corned beef and smashed potatoes and that kind of nifty stuff, which was very good.
I'm sure Dale's pretty happy you didn't touch any damn cooked cabbage.
Oh, yeah, especially with drinking what I'm drinking right now.
Oh, all I need Lord.
I need me a jar of those Penrose pickled eggs. Those things are good. I know they don't look real appetizing floating around in the jar like, you know, some biology class project. But, man, pickled eggs are good as hell, especially if you're drinking.
Let me ask you a question about that. With or without beet juice?
Yeah, I'd go either way. Because beets.
I've heard
you
that about
beet...
you, but that's not the question.
I thought it was okay since Biden took over. So, beets, you put just beets and vinegar and some pearl onions, salt and pepper. Yeah, I can get busy on that just the same. But, yeah, pickled eggs and that beet juice. It just makes the egg or the egg whites purple, so it kind of – it's one of those little distractions. But otherwise, after a couple drinks, you're not really studying the purple egg yolks or the egg whites anyway. So I'll put them down.
Well,
of course, I regret it later on, but it's good.
I'm gonna throw out a little culinary secret. If you make my daughter, first time she had seen the pickled egg, she was like, oh man, you gotta figure out how to make those, Dad. So I went ahead and I had done up with the beet juice, the pickled eggs, and in the recipe it includes using onions in there. Man, I will tell you right now, on a pulled pork sandwich with the slaw, you take the onions that you've used to that were part of the batch to make the homemade pickled eggs, I'm telling you, that's like taking a dump in the high cotton. It is good to go.
And you want to use sweet onions, too. If you can't get your hands on pearl onions, make sure you're using the sweet onions. You put the red onions in there, it just has a totally different funk to it. But sweet onions or pearl onions, either one of those, you let that that vinegar and beet juice soak that stuff up, like you said. I'd even throw it on top of a baked potato. That's some fine eating right there, man, without a doubt. But like I said, you'll eat it, have the time of your life, and 2 hours later you'll be regretting it. But that's all the fun in eating, you know.
You see, that's why
– everybody else will regret it.
That's why I'm not a chef, because y'all are talking about floating eggs and beet juice, and it makes me want to vomit. I used to have to pickle beets in the restaurant I worked at years ago, and I can't stand the smell of them. I can't stand the smell of the vinegar used to pickle them, and it's just, ugh, can't do it. I can cook. I'll cook stuff. But I figure if you're a chef, you got to like a lot of food, and there's a lot of stuff I'm just not going to do.
The funny thing about vinegar is I recently found this, like, pipe. It looks almost like a piston washed up in Southport on the waterfront, covered in barnacles and all that kind of stuff. And I put it in a turkey pan with 2 gallons of white vinegar. And the white vinegar, I even dumped some baking soda on it to it to kind of make it like a paste on her, and let it sit for a week. That thing is not totally rust-free, but I bet you it ate at least a half inch of rust off of that thing. And in the meantime, I'm going, God, that ate rust off of a potentially 200-year-old piece of metal. And here I am ingesting the stuff. You know what I mean? It's like, okay. You know,
that's
but
like,
of course.
Yeah. Like a can of Coke, too.
Yeah. Coke can eat the corrosion off a car battery and any kind of calcified stuff. You put Coca-Cola on it, clean it right on up, and then you go drink it.
Boy, I just, that didn't take us long. We were killing it. The did not take us long. The and that is why we, for those that have asked, we don't really burn a lot of energy on plans. It just really doesn't really work. It just saying. All right.
Yeah.
They did have his corned beef. He went sans cabbage, but he went with the, I do like the classic, you know, like the little red taters boiled with the corned beef and cabbage. But, Matt, boys, hard to argue a good batch of mashed potatoes any day of the week. But I did do the corned beef cabbage here. The wife pretty much wants to make sure that they get corned beef and cabbage. And it's not for the meal. It's about using it, the leftovers, in the cast iron skillet to make your own homemade corned beef hash for the morning.
Yeah, boy.
It, boy, some fresh ground black pepper on it and that. It's, yeah. I mean, and the wife did, she behaved, because normally she knew that, I think mostly because the freezer was pretty full. Normally she would go ahead and order up, pick up some extra, an extra flat of the meat so that we could just do a booty pot full of the corned beef and cabbage and have it, have freezer batches, prepped up for the dadgum, leftovers and have, you know, breakfast portions prep for the corned beef hash, because she'll just, yeah, she'll, yeah, that's her jam, if you will.
Yeah, but that, they'll actually put the corned beef in a slow cooker instead of boiling it. She put it in the slow cooker and let it run all day, and I'm here to tell you, it was damn good. I was impressed, so...
Well, one of the classic
options
with it, and I haven't done it because, look, God bless a slow cooker right now. I got no issues with that, and that'll work. That'll do just fine, and the advantage of not doing the cabbage and stuff with it is that stuff didn't turn to mush because you dropped it in the slow cooker when you guys go to work, you know. That just don't work. But, yeah, that's perfect the way you guys did there. You get corned beef sitting in there. Low and slow, you're good.
Yeah, man.
But I've thought about going to the braising with it. I haven't really tried the technique. And actually, the people that mastered that are the people that the Irish Americans stole the corned beef from as a food option. And because it's not really an Irish food option, it's an Irish American food option. Just saying. But for traditional food,
get to New York.
Again?
I said, we all need to go back and watch Gangs in New York.
There you go. Traditional,
that way we can catch
yeah.
back up.
Boy, yeah. Boy, Hollywood really gets stuff right. Yeah. I got to say.
Speaking of Hollywood movies, Todd, what movie is on right now?
Only movie I could. The movie for now, for today, Quiet Man. There's only two movies for today, Quiet Man and Boondock Saints.
Oh,
yeah.
Come on. I'm going to give you two more guesses. You already hit on it once.
Oh, you're talking about Leprechaun.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There we go.
You'll be dead if I don't get me coin. And that one turned into Police Academy, too, because there's like 20 of them now. And the first one was excellent. But then it just kind of left, you know, got off the rails and went in its own direction. But, yeah, Leprechaun was a good old and that's when the horror flicks get the comedy in them, you know, which is good every now and then.
I don't think I ever seen a single one of those.
Really?
Yeah, there were so many of those types of movies coming out for a while, right? Critters, you name it.
Yeah.
And I was just like, okay, it's going to be another one of those. And I was just like, nope.
I just remember that line, though, when the guy says, we got to get out of here. We're not going to make it. And then that leprechaun comes out and hits the old, you'll be dead if I don't get me coin. So, of course, you know, whenever you're in front of the soda machine at work, you know, and somebody's like, hey, Dave, you got a dime? Yeah, I got a dime, but why don't you give me back Friday, all right? All right, dude. You'll be dead if I don't get me coin. Probably one out of every 25 people get the line, but, you know, there's really not a whole lot of St. Patrick flicks out there, are there?
You know, you got some stuff you can watch, all this stuff, but the, Quiet Man is just, it's a good movie in and of itself. The old John Wayne, Marino Hara,
yeah,
I'm a big Boondock Saints fan, so.
Well, so I
met David Della Roca.
Oh, hold on. Tim.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You might be hurt. Speak up, man.
All I was going to say is going back to the food, I kind of I fall out of the norm. We had Chinese tonight, but here's I must have grown up on the wrong side of the tracks. I don't know because
you did the Irish St. Patrick's Day version of Christmas Story.
Right?
That's exactly what that was.
I grew up on the other side of the tracks because for me, St. Patty's Day, you know, and I just recently realized about the corned beef, you know, and the cabbage and stuff. I had looked it up and considered doing it today, and I thought, nah, I think it's a Chinese night. But I'm surprised no one's been talking about green beer. That's all I ever thought about was when am I going to get off work so I can go grab a green beer? That's what it was to me as soon as when I was 21. But anybody either one of you enjoying the green alcoholic beverage? I'm certainly not because I don't drink anymore. But
no, mine's
no,
got a blue ribbon, but there's no green. I remember when I was a kid, Todd. You know, you're me and you's not too far apart in age. You'll remember this. You remember when McDonald's and I was living in Chicago when this went down. When McDonald's first came out with the Shamrock Shakes?
Yeah, I remember those. And, in fact, I drove Kana through. She picked up a couple of their Frappuccinos to give them a pop here because they can get one of those higher-cost coffee chain products at like a third of the damn price. And
yeah.
There's no freaking 20-minute wait. But drove her through there, and I saw on the signage that they had the Shamrock Shake.
Yeah, those
so
things
those
were
still
good.
Real,
I haven't had them in years. Yeah, those things were good. But, yeah, it's been quite a while. It's funny. We were just talking about movies and McDonald's, just a quick sidebar. If you haven't seen the movie Founder yet with Michael Keaton about Ray Kroc, the founder of McDonald's, two things will happen. It was an excellent movie. Just to go on to say, you're going to watch it and you're going to go, damn, you know, that was a good flick. But then on the second side, you're never going to want to eat a McDonald's again. I mean, what a dirty bird Ray Kroc was, man. I mean, stole guys' wives, stole guys' businesses, stole their ideas, stole their damn, I mean, business models. I mean, that guy stole, and he just had that ability to put it into motion, but he never came up with his own idea. And after watching that movie, I was like, good Lord. You know, I almost wanted to call McDonald's and go, you people know who the hell you're working for?
Yeah.
I mean, he's been dead for like 10 years now, but nevertheless. But, yeah, back to St. Patrick's Day. I'm sorry. I had to throw that McDonald's reference out there.
Yeah, well, it's funny that you brought that up because my brother mentioned that there's Coming to America 2 is on, and the same guy has talk about the stolen reference, stealing stuff to do it for his chain that was clearly a McDonald's knockoff. Now you brought that up, Dave, because I hadn't seen that. So I'm wondering if that was somebody in the original writers knew, because he was clearly, much of what he was doing was taking their ballywick and making it his own from where they worked in the original Coming to America and still
right.
going on. So that kind of makes me, you know, that'd be one of those things to wonder if that wasn't a kind of sort of Easter egg back then.
Yeah, it could have been. Could. Ray Kroc owned the Padres there for a long time, along with other things. But, yeah, it was pretty disturbing watching. Now, granted, Hollywood will embellish. I get that. But by and large, just watching this stuff, man, and watching the way this guy just outmaneuvered everybody, it was just – it kind of surprised me he wasn't shot by somebody because, I mean, he ruined people's lives stealing their ideas. And it was a little – excuse me, it was a little tough to watch, but – yeah, it's got Ron Swanson in it, and who's the tall, bald guy that's in everything? He was in The Walking Dead, was the butter maker, and he was like...
oh, God, yeah, hell, he was Drew Carey's brother in the Drew Carey Show.
Yeah, and he played the bad guy. He played the Mattel president in Ted 2, and he played Twisty the Clown in, American Horror Story. But, yeah, I mean, it was an excellent flick, but, man. And Michael Keaton is probably one of my favorite actors out there, I mean, among others. But watching him sing, I was like, come on, Mike, you can do better than this. I know he was playing the old different years, but, I mean, he nailed it. I mean, you, at the end of the movie, you just want to slap the hell out of him. But, yeah, it's something that's worth watching. It's called Founder. And I think Netflix has it on right now, as a matter of fact. If you're willing to pay the $20 a month that they've jacked their price up to, you're more than welcome to watch it. Just put that little dig on Netflix.
It's $20
nice.
Now, Netflix?
Yeah. Yeah, it's for us, it's 20 bucks. I think we got two or three different devices. And it was $14, $13.99, I believe. And this last month it went up $20. So that may be getting the hatchet soon.
Yeah,
$20, that's a bit much. And, you know, when you watch it, it's got the same old mess on there. And, you know, I can't totally agree with some of the programming they've had on of recent. And, you know, I understand everybody has to have their niche, and I get that. Not everybody likes to watch what I like to watch, but when you're putting things on there that is not quite up to the moral standard for me, I don't get on Facebook carrying on about it, and I don't jump up and down the streets and throw myself, you know, and set myself on fire to prove a point. I just simply turn it off. And that's that.
There you go.
You know what I mean?
That's always an option. I'm going to try to slide us back to food. Garion did, Trish, it's your birthday. Happy birthday. She was from a rival school doing the Irish dancing growing up. Figure it's appropriate to bring that up. Her uncle and I were still best friends, and Trish and I somehow, we got back in contact once Facebook stuff came on, and she happens to live across from her uncle. But her uncle Sean and I are good friends. But Trish, they did a classic Irish breakfast. She had the picture posted, and the youngsters and her hubby put it together. If I remember what I read right. But my son did a classic today. He did he didn't do the corned beef and cabbage. He did, you know, as far as the American side of things. But he did make sure he was considering making some cold cannon. But he did make some soda bread. And darns, yada, he sent me a pic of that one. Holy crap. He did one of those big rustic cross cuts across the top of it. It was, man, it looked just freaking outstanding. And that was his first go at it. I thought that was kind of cool. Introducing people to soda bread for their first time is kind of a cool thing, because they don't, for the people that don't understand it, the reason they did it, it's because their wheat didn't work real well with other leavening items, so they used soda as their leavener, the baking soda. The wheat that, genus and species, if you will, and the way the ground was, it just didn't necessarily work with it. So that's what they used to leaven their bread, and thus the soda bread was born. With or without raisins. I mean, I liked the raisins more when I was a kid, but I like it without. So he did. He went traditional there. I'll throw out in the green room. I hit Dave up and mentioned one of our common buddies. He said, man, maybe we should get together and try to break some bread. And Kevin works with Dave, and so we're like, man, maybe, you know, we'd get all three of us together. And we had actually suggested the Irish pub, because Kevin will know I've made bangers for the classic bangers and mashed breakfast. And when I say I made bangers, as in did my own sausage from scratch to make that kind of stuff. So that's a classic Irish food. Just thought I'd throw that out there. Bangers, a Kilkenin, some of those things like that. So some classic Irish foods that are real Irish and not necessarily American.
What about shepherd's pie?
Say again?
What about shepherd's pie? I was trying to look up different St. Patrick's Day or different dishes, and shepherd's pie came up. Is that just something that might have slipped in the list, or is that truly
off top of my head, I'd say that's IA, but maybe not. I'd say it's more Irish American, just off the top of my head. I don't know. I mean, it wasn't something that I knew from the knew quite a few imports from Ireland growing up, prior generation. Sadly, they're not here with us. I don't really recall them making that stuff. So who knows? Who knows? Because, Devin, Dave, what's the, there's a southern take on it, if you will. That's not shepherd's pie, but it's the same concept. It's a maximum utilization of available resources to be able to make a casserole type thing for everybody to be able to eat. And it's just,
yeah.
I don't know.
It's the same old thing where you just, I can't remember the name of it, but you do the same thing. Yeah, heap a bunch of ground beef and potatoes and peppers and everything to one pot.
Yeah, a lot more veggies, a lot more veggies in the southern take on it.
Yeah.
That's there. Tim, I could absolutely be wrong, but I just feel like that's an American thing.
Yeah.
I really do.
Hey, speaking of Ireland, something I read this week, believe it or not, a walrus showed up on the shores of Northern Ireland. You read about that?
I did.
And they speculate that he was napping on an ice floe and the thing kind of got away from the Arctic or whatever, but they said, the first walrus spotting in Ireland happened. I mean, that would be my luck, walking out on the beach. Hey, let's go out for a walk on the beach. Hey, look, goddamn walrus, you know, some 1,700-pound mammal sitting out there with tusks the size of my forearms. It's like, okay. And from what I understand, walruses are like aggressive as hell. I don't know if I'm wrong on that or not, but I've heard that they get.
Them
I know Steve
them and the elephant seals both. And
right,
they are both
right.
Beyond massive.
And they can move too when they're. Yeah. Yeah, you'd think they'd be slow until they start going after your ass, and then it's curtains. I mean, they're. There's some big animals, and so how nifty is that? I'm waiting for your girl Greta Thunberg to stand up and start saying it's because the walrus showed up in Ireland that the earth is coming to an end in the next 30 days, and yak, yak, yak. Good for that walrus, man. Ain't nothing wrong with traveling.
I don't know. I think that's just as funny as that research vessel that went down to Antarctica to help justify all the missing ice and stuff and got frozen into the Antarctic ice like 100 miles further out than they thought that they would sight it because, yeah, there ain't supposed to be ice here. It's supposed to be gone, and we're frozen in it.
Yeah, Greta said this all. Yeah, good for them. That'll learn you.
Hey, here we go. I feel the tangent coming. Anybody got anything else food-wise or Irish-wise or whatever? And I'm surprised you guys let that pass on the Irish dancing. Beautiful.
Nah, the way my day went today, there was no time for dancing. That's for damn certain.
No, I was just – I think I already hit on the I'm surprised you didn't give us a history lesson, Todd, you know, the background of St. Patrick's Day, all that good stuff. I just, as I already touched on, I know it's quite a celebration in Savannah, Georgia. I've been there twice. It's kind of like a mini Mardi Gras, if you will, and it was a good time. It's probably been, it's been over 20 years ago that I was there, so I don't know, especially with all the COVID stuff. I don't know if they're still doing it, but no, it was pretty cool. They block off what's called, I think it's called River Street, and they have different beer vendors and whatnot. So it's a good time over there.
Awesome. Yeah, I just don't necessarily know about down there, but Savannah has some Savannah can
ghost stories.
Savannah got some stuff going on. They sure enough do. You know, start thinking about some little things. Now, You know, I can use one of those things we know, St. Patrick's Day, St. Patrick and all that. But would you believe an Irish priest, I don't know if that this dude ever got sainthood, but from way, way back in the day, he was actually, excuse the noise of freedom flying over here. Feel like that's an sounds like an osprey. Let's see if my, well, I can't see through the clouds. Got a low ceiling going on. Sounds of freedom over here, people. This priest who, you know, one of the things he would travel and set up, you know, get new monasteries built, stuff like that. He was, had, and man, I'm talking, I feel like this might even be pre-10th century BC, somewhere around there. It ain't that far off. Had an encounter, yeah, might be 12th century, the 13th, somewhere around there, no later than 13th century, the BC, or Common Era, as people like to use now. What happened to be in the Loch Ness area, and St. Pat's known for driving the ye old snakes out. This guy happened to be by Loch Ness, saw these people were having a funeral for somebody that had been mauled by the monster of the Loch. So he had one of his guys go out there. The monster started going after him, and he basically did one of those blessings and told him he would no longer attack people. And it left his guy alone, and the guy got back to the shore. So stories of Loch Ness Monster. And while St. Patrick was driving snakes out of Ireland, this guy was doing a hell of a job. He was he got the Loch Ness Monster to stand down. So,
no, I've never heard that.
No, it's, and I mean, again, I'm going to tell you, it's probably somewhere around a 13th century maybe story. I'm just trying to remember where I read that bit. It was a long time ago. You know me, I love to pick up on these little tidbits, and I just thought that was really cool for the cryptozoology side to know that the Loch Ness Monster stories go back quite a while. It's far from a recent phenomenon.
Yeah, Loch Ness has been, that's another one that's been, that one for me is probably a little more digestible than some of the other stuff that's out there when it comes down to the cryptozoology stuff. But yeah, that's, I didn't know that. I never heard that story. That's wild.
Yeah, just what a weird combination of things for it to get in there on that side of things. See, you can do cryptozoology, we can do anything. There's just a bunch of stuff that's just plain old fun. The wanted to touch on bangers for the ye old bangers and mash. Maybe I'll try to keep us here a little bit. The bangers came about starting particularly World War One era, when people started using fillers in their sausages. And I know for sure for the old Great Britain, one of their classic fillers is a thing called rusk. What they call a biscuit is not what you're going to get at KFC or Bojangles as a biscuit, you know, with your sausage gravy over it. They do a much drier type biscuit. And they call it, when they grind it down, they call it rusk. I can't remember if that's just as cooked or once it's ground down to they pulverize it, basically, to help that use as a filler. Well, this thing would take up so much of the moisture that it would, they would, the sausages would split their skin and thus bangers.
It would pop.
There it is. Your culinary weirdness for the night.
the origin of the banger.
Yeah.
Yeah, oddly enough, I was looking up banger history. I probably shouldn't describe everything that came up on my search.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure early on it was the first males at an orgy. As opposed to the bangies.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. The bangers versus the bangies. Who's on the receiving end?
And then old Desh gets pissy, and yet they name the country, you know, Bangladesh. Yeah. But, yeah, so does that quick nutshell story, the bluff version of it, jive with what you looked up, Tim?
Sure, we'll go with that.
No, I mean the first story, not the follow-ups.
Honestly, I didn't get that far. I was trying to make sense of it, but I saw more of the, as immature as I am, I started giggling at some of the other stuff that came up, so I quickly was my brain was routed.
Erase your search history, that kind of important stuff.
Dad, what does this mean?
Well, son, let me tell you. You might think it's this. It's actually a name for a giraffe. Trust me.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's funny. You could look up the old, you know, be looking up a wireless access point, and the old acronym for that ain't what it is now. Just saying.
Oh, boy.
No. There's so many things you can actually accidentally trip over. And, I mean, some of the terms that they come up with now, I remember the first time I heard the term teabagging. I laughed all the time.
Right.
I couldn't
go
laugh.
Let me ask you, Dave. I'm going to bet it was somebody talking about a gaming thing.
Yeah, I was useless for the rest of the day. I could not quit laughing. And
what was the joke somebody brought up a couple of weeks ago? There was a joke that one of you, somebody brought up something, and I thought it had to do with teabagging, and I can't remember now what it was. Somebody was rolling, though. I don't remember what the heck it was. Man, I sure wish I could understand. It was on the podcast.
Oh, it's probably, God forbid, if Velvet and I can't be trusted together. I'm just saying. I'll throw something out there. He'll run with it, and then I got, you know, the rest of you leches. And yeah, well, see? Oh, look at that. Tonight we're almost like the damn three milk food. We're the Trace Leches.
Rob hit one the other night, and I cannot remember what he said for the life of me, but it was another term, and it had me laughing like hell. And every now and then, something like that, be it forever, you know, be it something my mom wouldn't be proud to hear, that inner Beavis and Butthead, I mean, I just can't help it sometimes. It's some funny stuff. And
they had Beavis and Butthead were on a Super Bowl commercial. I don't know if Todd, I know you're not necessarily a sports guy. Dave, I can't remember if you watched it or not, but they had did you see the commercial that had Beavis and Butthead in it? I don't even remember what the commercial was about, but it had several different characters.
Yeah, crack.
Yeah.
Crack.
There's a large crack, and the Beavis and Butthead start giggling, and she said crack. And down on the best commercial I saw the whole Super Bowl.
And there was stuff I don't know, they never really, I was meh, you know, I mean, I got it, both of y'all know me, my humor is as juvenile as anybody else. Maybe it's just because my humor, I like a little bit drier stuff that, you know, that didn't get me. And yet, big fan of slapstick. So, hell, I don't know. I mean, some of the best Stooges humor.
That show right there, I mean, still to this day, there's regular Beavis and Butthead references around me. I can't help it. That show was phenomenal. And
Yeah.
Of course, now with the cancel culture and all that going on, I'm sure they'd never be able to repeat it.
And yet wireless access point is okay.
Yeah. We're cutting out Pepe Le Pew, but yet on the Grammys you had a young lady singing about WAP, which I won't elaborate on.
And just for the record, that's what I was referring to. Most people already know, but just in case it went past someone, that was the whole point of the wireless access point.
Yeah, it just, I don't know, it's head-scratcher for me. It's, and no, just for the record, in the event you've never watched a Pepe Le Pew cartoon, Pepe Le Pew was not a serial rapist. He was a Latin lover. He was like a Casanova, and that was the whole idea behind his character.
Here's a silly story on that. I remember Gary as a little kid, that's where he first learned French kissing, was a la Pepe Le Pew, the ye old which was also a bit of Gomez Adams, you know.
Yeah We had a guy that we worked with years and years ago, and this guy had about zero game, but yet every young lady that came into the store, he tried to put the moves on, and we used to call him Pepe Le Pew. And I mean, the name, and it was like the only person that didn't know his name was Pepe Le Pew was him. It was like the worst kept secret. And but it wasn't because he was a serial rapist, it was because he was constantly trying to be Romeo for all the young ladies in the building. Now, I would be remiss if you're really going to break down the whole Pepe Le Pew phenomena, lest we forget that at the end of every episode, the cat would get liquored up and then try to put the moves on him. And that's when Pepe would hit the, "Mademoiselle, you must control yourself." But we left that point out. So the cat's okay for getting drunk
that
and playing
in the category of that. That's beside the point.
I guess so. I suppose so. So, Pepe, this one's for you, buddy. I still dig the cartoons, and I will still laugh like hell watching them. I can only imagine what they're going to do next. Because I'm here to tell you, Looney Tunes cartoons, man, the old Looney Tunes, if you're having a bad day, just flip those things on. Yeah, and they'll bring you back around.
Tom and Jerry, those are good.
Oh, yeah. Let me run with this. Since we use a couple cartoons here, some I'll watch, some I won't. And I just said that, you know, like Beavis Butthead, I was always like, yeah, whatever. You know what I did? I changed a frickin' channel.
Right.
It just seemed like a pretty simple option. It wasn't, it didn't require a lot of thought, not a lot of physical exertion. It was pretty darned simple. So, I mean, I'm sorry that I have the initiative to be able to do that, the intellect to be able to do that, and the common sense to be able to do that, and somehow or other find a way to use that much energy, that so much mental acuity, that much, you know, and physical coordination to, you know, move my thumb to either channel up, channel down, or even put in a different, you know, figure out how to do that channel number on there, the combination. I managed to do all that without getting offended.
Yeah, I mean, when Rob was a little guy, I recall kindly asking the relatives to steer clear of the Teletubbies and Barney. And I says, I'm not particularly fond of it. If he watches it on your watch, I don't have a problem with it, but I'd prefer he just stay away from those two. They just don't seem to do anything for me. And now again, did I stand in front of the production studio with a big purple sign going down with the dinosaur? No, I didn't. I just simply did not, you know. Now, SpongeBob, on the other hand, yeah. Still, Rob was raised on SpongeBob. I'll make no bones about it. But I wasn't particular about Teletubbies. I wasn't particular about Barney. So he just simply did not tune in. And
record, I think the thing that I was like, Barney just ripped off an old song. His I Love You, You Love Me thing. Tell me that wasn't this old man. He played one. He played Nick Nack on his dump, just slowed the hell down.
Yeah, it was.
So, you know, and even the Blue's Clues thing. I know Rob would watch a little bit of Blue's Clues when he was a little guy. And, you know, I watched it, and I was like, okay, I'm getting nothing out of this. But I saw Rob was enjoying it, so I ran with it.
Blue's Clues, the original dude, there was one particular one, and I think Aaron and kind of both watched it. There was one where the guy, he was doing the one that quit because his hairline was going bad. He's like, I ain't going to be doing a kid's show with my hairline falling apart. He was sitting there and he was doing kind of a pseudo Elvis imitation at the time. He's sitting there playing guitar and all that. And of course they had the sound bit for the audience, cheering for him and stuff. And he held out his one arm and held it out, and he just waved like, no, no, no. And the other hand went down low, and it was like waving like, come on, come on, come on. And it was just hilarious. That was just, that was probably the funniest moment that I recall. That, and I had an inspirational moment watching the neighbor go out. I think somehow he had managed to miss the damn mail the night before, or we used to have an early delivery then. And he went out and in the morning, and he's got a great deal of decency, old-fashioned stuff, you know, instead of going out just in a regular white T-shirt or whatever in the morning. And he had the dress trousers on, but the slippers at that point, or, you know, some type of yard house thing. And he had the robe on, and he was going out to the mailbox. And all I could think of was combining Blue's Clues, and because the neighbor had the damn robe on, and Ric Flair doing the whole, we just got a letter. Could you see Ric Flair doing the whole robe thing and stuff like that? Get out to the mailbox and just doing the whole, we just got a letter. Woo! I just randomly take, you know, having the kids that age and stuff, that just tells me how long, and because Frank's been retired for a long time, and apparently, you know what, stop and trying to think about this one now.
Yeah, there was a lady just here recently. I read that God, what's the name? It's the pig thing. It's British show. She lodged a complaint because her children started speaking with an English accent. And I said, okay.
Oh, God. Even worse. What if they were speaking BBC English? Oh, we couldn't possibly have that.
No, of course not. And you know,
for those folks there, please don't look up BBC. You might be quite shocked if you start looking that up.
Yeah, that's another that's another shocker Shocker's another one you don't want to look up. Nothing is sacred these days. That's what you got to watch. My poor wife, she goes through it all the time because me and Rob just eat her alive with, that's what she said. And, I mean, no matter what it was, Dale's sitting there playing Candy Crush, and I says, are you losing? And she goes, yeah, but this one's so hard. That's what she said. It's gotten to the point where she just can't even talk in the house anymore because me and Rob will just, you know, one way or another, we'll find something. But, yeah, it's but, you know, to hear this lady actually take time out of her day, and this is the thing about cancel culture and triggering that really perplexes me, is if you think about all of the misery, and, you know, in the green room, I was filling you in on some of the misery I've gone through in the last 48 hours. If you take everyday life's miseries that you have to go through, you know, illnesses, you know, death, bills, taxes, you know, turd workplaces, all those kind of things, how do you have the energy to get upset over Pepe Le Pew? Where do you have the energy to sit down and form a letter and send it to British Broadcasting asking them to do something about Peppa Pig and the accent they use?
Hold on. I want to hold your train of thought, but I want to do this. If somebody actually sat down and did snail mail, I'm going to tell you I'm friggin' impressed.
Yeah, somebody actually wrote a letter. Yeah, 20 years ago, you got excited about it in the email. Now, 20 years later, you get excited about an actual postal mail. You know, it's like...
I'm thinking that BBC went out there and they saw that an actual letter in their mailbox and was like, we just got a letter. Anyhow, go back to that. They have the energy to do that. They have the energy to do that.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about me with the triggering thing. Is that you just, it takes so much less energy and heartache just to walk away. And don't get me wrong, there's a fine line between, say, bullying and, you know, and the inability to walk away from something, you know. And again, you know, I'm not particular about today's country music. So you know what I do? I don't listen to it. I don't buy the CDs. I don't. Yeah, I don't go out of my way to. And it's funny going back to your WAP video. There was a news circuit, several of them, mainstream
and
media.
And just for the record, this time it is not a wireless access point reference.
Yes, this is the. The dampness of a certain particular part of the body reference. doesn't sound as good as WAP, but dampness is always a good, you know, word to throw in there. But they were talking about the vulgarity, how people were triggered again about said performance. So you scroll further down, and lo and behold, there's the link. And a YouTube video attached of said performance. Or Charlie Hebdo, you know, that French, like, Mad Magazine thing? They printed a cover picture of Queen Elizabeth putting the knee down on the back of Meghan Markle. And there's this big, outrage about a cover. The outrage, you know, sent people over the edge and blah, blah, blah. And further down the article, there's the picture of it. And I'm going, okay, so if it was that bad, why did you reprint the goddamn thing? If it was such a heinous thing that Charlie Hebdo printed it all there, and I'm sure it wasn't classy at all. I'll give them that. But what purpose did it serve by reposting what you're saying was done in bad taste? again, it reaches a childish level to me, and I think sometimes people who get triggered just don't have enough going on, possibly, that or they've worse
say,
yet.
Say your name. Oh, the yeah,
worse
I got
thing
a,
yet.
I got
I don't
about some of these
things. Back. Yo,
the,
you gotta laugh.
Oh, hell's yeah. The Tim was in a meeting with me. We heard something that some of our simpler things just got less simple earlier today. What was passed at the tail end of the 0930, and without saying that stuff, the and why it requires no action on me, that's a work thing. I care about my workmates, and I'm knee-deep in, you know, trying to figure out how can we make this less painful on their side. I do that, you know. I mean, I'm sure I burn more energy than I should have. Mentally, emotionally, psychologically, and, you know, and it's still far from out of my head. Because now we just, you know, something is now just going to be, it's going to take longer to get the same thing done because you're raising echelons of signatures and approvals. Not saying it's wrong, it's fine. It's just, you know, now it's just, we got to start reviews and everything else way much earlier. I end up burning the next hour having a discussion about that. The maybe if people care about work production and all that stuff. I mean, that's just the way I burn my time. I, just for the record, I was online and reviewing email for work. Just before I started the show, I jumped in because I could do that and look in and get a head start on tomorrow, because as the way things go, I got loaded up at the tail end of the day. That's the way it is. I mean, clearly, I've been going certain ways. Maybe I have no life. I'll go with that. Maybe I have no life. Maybe that's one of those things. Maybe it's work. Maybe it's, you know, worrying about the family. Maybe it's making sure that there was, you know, corned beef and cabbage and, you know, the other half, she's going to be locked on. Speaking of, I might want to start warming that up for the other half when she gets back from work. But I ain't got time for a lot of that other energy, he says, while he's sitting here doing a podcast. Not that I can't multitask.
But it's true. I mean, it's just, you know, for all the misery that life brings, and when I use the term misery, I'm talking just daily misery, you know, getting up in the morning, showering, going to work, traffic, you know, your potato chips getting stuck in the snack machine, all those things.
I'm laughing. You talk about traffic, dude. You would hate where I'm at or where I'm normally at.
Yeah, Jacksonville traffic has just reached a peak with me. I've gotten to a point, matter of fact, today, not to get off on a tangent, but today was just, you know, I was already on a mission. I was behind the eight ball because of all the stuff that was going on, and I don't know what it is about people in Jacksonville getting in the left lane and driving 10, 15 miles under the speed limit. And, you know, Jacksonville's not that big of a place, you know, arguably. It's not geographically big. From what I understand, we're close to 250,000 people, including the base, living here in Onslow County. But I just can't get over the amount of people who, I'm not saying you got to burn rubber everywhere you go, but, you know, there's a posted speed limit. And if you can't or refuse or are too intimidated to go said speed limit, you got several options. Stay right or have somebody else drive you. You know?
Well, there's the whole look, if you're slowing down and you're a mile from the light and you're slowing down in the passing lane because you know you want to get in the right lane instead of just keep going slower, try turning on a signal.
Yeah.
To let somebody know what you're really doing. How was that? There's a bunch of things with that, but yeah, it's brutal. It's brutal. I don't know. Part of me initially thought back in the day there were too many ASVAB waivers, but that's the way it goes. I really want to say this, but I get in trouble because it'd be a work thing. Tim knows I've referred to let me do it this way. I've actually asked about some people who are former service members and said, I wonder what their ASVAB score was. I'll just leave it as, wonder what their ASVAB score was. Believe me, it was a dilly of a response. It just was. It's just the way that one goes. Let's try to I would like to somehow or other, since we're a little bit after 2200 here, try to get some sort of positive thought train going.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, Tim, you got anything to bail us out of this damn hole we're going into? I imagine you're giggling your ass off right now.
Yeah,
for
I
corn
am going
beef
to need it. And
so
bailing
did you
out.
Get your stimmy, buddy? Did you get your stimmy? I got mine today.
You know what? I saw a post in the email that ours, the wife's and mine posted. And then, of course, the daughter asked me, can we go to Academy and buy some fishing gear? So I'm assuming she got hers.
Ooh, I'd have to check. I don't know if we got one or not.
Well, Tim, you might be in business because I'm hearing some people getting like $7,000 and $8,000 if they've got 2, 3, 4 kids. You might need to check the old online banking before the wife does. And because it's out there, man. It's out there floating around. The money's there. And granted, I got a feeling that we're going to end up paying it back on our federal withholding tax in 2021, but that's a different conversation. But
well,
it's good
because it's all it is was an advance on our taxes.
That's
pretty
much what
it was. And we got to pay it back sooner or later. So I was wondering. Here's a thought: wouldn't this be cool if wouldn't it be cool to be able to refuse it and not have to pay any future taxes on the bill that authorized it?
Oh, wow.
Interesting.
That's a good thought. Never thought about that. Good point. Yeah, because I tell you, this stimulus stuff, man, you know, the government is giving
you
money to play with.
What? Watch banks in Europe. You do realize banks in Europe are now shifting to negative interest?
Yeah, that's true. That's
how
true.
The hell does that work?
Just like I hate to tell you, just like it sounds, they're going to charge you to hold the money. The whole how
exactly.
And why is a long, hot mess. But look up negative interest, and you want something to scare the hell out of you? Look up Bravo Sierra Golf I believe. I know it's Bravo. I know it's Sierra. And I think G is in golf for a new type of credit score that's coming.
Oh, really? Oh, wow. I hadn't heard about that either. That's...
Yeah.
That can go scary in either direction. Yeah. That could be scary because the pros of it would be a more defined, more rational way of scoring. And then the bad way we're taking financially irresponsible people and giving them an opportunity to be even more responsible or irresponsible, as the case may be.
No, it's getting worse. No, it might be ESG, Echo, Vice Bravo. But it's out there. It's out there. Be afraid, be very afraid. So much for being positive. All right. Say again, please.
No, it's just the negative interest thing. The funny thing about that folks don't seem to kind of wrap their mind around is that the traditional thought, a bank is there to service your funds, is not so much the case now. And if you really drill down on the banking system, it's almost as if, imagine going to the grocery store and they charge you $5 for getting rang up. You know, let's say you go to the grocery store, and if you spend less than $25, there's a $2 surcharge. You know what I mean? So it forces you to buy more, whether you can or can't, to avoid the $2 surcharge for being under $25. That's a hypothetical, but that's kind of sort of the example. And if you really drill down and look in a lot of your banking, especially your larger banking companies, there's a lot of odd fees in there that you don't realize exist. And until you really start looking at it, and like charging for checks. You remember the good old days when you used to sit down with your little checkbook and your ledger, and you'd write out all of your checks. And, you know, your electric bill and all that, you put the stamp on it, put it in the – you had that big old stack of envelopes you put in the mailbox once a month. Now, granted, there's a lot of electronic – a lot of people are, you know, paying their bills electronically now. But even then, there's starting to be these little thorn-in-the-side dollar charges for filing – or not filing, but for paying electronically. And, yeah – you think you've got, you know, 5 million customers and you charge them all a dollar a piece and it feels somewhat harmless for each individual to pay a dollar more. But, hey, that's 5 million skins for nothing. So, yeah, that's definitely something to be aware of, you know. Scary.
You know what's funny? At a job I worked at several years ago, my boss, she was heavy on this. When she went to a store, like I'll throw out Kroger because it's what I know most of, but a grocery store, you know, they all started
just for the record, that's like Food Lion here.
Right. There you go. Whenever they started that whole self-checkout, you know, she refused. And still, I'm sure to this day, so I'll say refuses to use the self-checkout because, in her mind, that's their job. They're supposed to be, when you go to the store, part of what you're paying toward those groceries is having that service of them bringing up your groceries and putting them in bags. And so she was like, why would I put in my own groceries in my bags? I don't work, not my job. I'm paying – part of the money I'm paying for groceries is to pay the person, you know, to run my groceries through, bring it all up, and then bag my groceries. And so
You're not getting a reduction for doing it yourself, for sure.
Yeah, this should be, like a 10% reduction or something. Just anything would be pleasant. And if you've noticed that several large retailers now with the self-checkouts, they pretty much force you to do it. The good old days of, you know, yep. I'm not doing that. You will actually go in there and there will be no service registers. And if you need some type of specific purchase or some type of specific attention, then you have to go get one of the little supervisors and they'll roll their eyes and take you to a separate register and, you know, do that. But yeah, it cracks me up because at a particular large retailer here that starts with a W and ends with a T, was founded by a guy named Sam. It always says, thank you for shopping. And I says, well, I'm not shopping, I'm working. You know, I'm doing all the damn heavy lifting here, chick. Don't sit there and tell me thank you for shopping. Hell, I ain't shopping. I just labored, you know. Don't give me that crap. It's like going to a restaurant and they say, here's some hamburger patties. Go cook your own damn Big Mac. Of course, with the condition of the most of the Big Macs I've got of recent memory, I just as soon cook my own because I don't know who sits on my burgers before I get them, but they're doing one hell of a job. I always think about Michael Douglas in that movie Falling Down, which is another movie that never gets the credit it deserves. But he's in that restaurant. They give him that burger, and I mean, it just looks tired. And he calls Andrew over and goes, look at that picture up there. I mean, it looks robust, looks full. Not like what you just handed me here.
Oh, is that the movie where he thinks that his wife is having an affair on him at the beginning and he loses?
Yeah.
Yep.
That is a fantastic movie. I mean, what a great flick. Doesn't get the credit it deserves.
I still think, just for the record, I'm going to try to bring it full circle here.
We got about another 10 minutes.
Yep, it's St. Patrick's Day movie, Boondock Saints. I'm just saying, who'd have thunk that young Norman Reedus would be such a big frickin' name today?
Yeah, he's really done good for himself. Hey, everybody on there, though. Billy Connolly, he's done his damage. He's, I thought he was fantastic in that movie. I thought he was just over the top. And David De La Roca, who played Funny Man, I've met him in person, and he is fantastic. What a good guy. Just down to earth, shoot the breeze with you, big baseball fan, just a hell of a good guy. And
well, you skipped the name.
I could watch that movie 1,000 times. That whole line that he tells his girlfriend about the cat.
Oh, yeah. You tell me the cat's name.
That was just great. That whole sequence was amazing. I mean, oh, God. But when they pulled up to that house, and Willem Dafoe was another. Willem Dafoe killed it in that one, too, man. And I don't know if it's true, but, you know, I do believe in a higher power, and every now and then I'll ask for some asinine things out of the higher power. And one of them was, please get Willem Dafoe back into the Marvel Cinematic Universe and let him be the Green Goblin again. And rumors abound that he is going to be in this next Spider-Man flick playing the Green Goblin. And I'm like, oh, hell yes. But,
okay, I'm drawing a blank here. The other guy, the other brother? Somebody help me
Patrick,
out here.
I met him briefly, too, at a con.
Sean Patrick Flannery.
Sean Flannery.
Sean Patrick Flannery. I got to meet him and did the photo op at the Horror Hound in Indianapolis.
He's a good guy too, man.
Oh yeah, he was freaking great. I did my photo op with Sean Patrick Flannery. I sure did, and I tell you, he was really cool. He saw one of the people that came through and went up to get signature for an autograph. The guy was wearing a Boondock Saint shirt that he hadn't seen, and the guy was like, because he came up to the table that I was working. I was up there working the table with Dr. John, and Sean Patrick Flannery was like, dude, I ain't seen that shirt before. Hold on, let me hit that. And he went ahead and signed it.
No kidding. Yeah. See, that's
you,
the way
you know,
it ought
to be. You know, that was not that it's a lot of effort for them to throw in an extra autograph or anything like that, but he sure didn't, you know, he was like, dude, let me hit that.
Yeah. And whoever was wearing that shirt was a fan, but after he did that, he became a mega fan. You know what I mean? It just took it to a different level, to be sure. So. Yeah, that's cool to hear those guys do that. That's because a lot of these cons have kind of turned corporate too, and to hear that these guys are still able to do that kind of stuff is great. He's a good guy, though. All of them on that show was never met Billy Connolly, but I mean, I imagine he'd be a blast because he seems like he's a
well. I understand he's got a hell of a comedy bit he does, too. So who'd have thunk with that role?
Yeah. He was in Last Samurai, too. That old Tom Cruise flick, which I'll admit, it was a cheesy flick, but I'm addicted to it. I'm a sucker for that samurai stuff. You know, Todd, you know where I'm coming from. I'm ate up with that samurai mess, and I could watch that movie 1,000 times, not because of Tom Cruise. He was the worst part of that movie, but everything else in that movie worked for me. But, yeah, Billy Connolly was in the beginning of that.
Oh, I like it.
But the end of Boondock Saints, when he pulls up in that limo and he gets out and starts shooting that house up, and when he runs out of bullets, he doesn't reload. He just drops the guns and pulls something else out of his coat.
Right.
This is epic, man. This is where it's at. You got to love that stuff, you know. Very well done.
Boondock Saints, dude, they did a little history. Tim, have you ever seen that movie?
Negative.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Dude, you know I'm holding the L on the head right now for you.
All right. I will put
let me be nicer. Check it out. You would like that. You would dig it. You would dig it.
Yeah, no peer pressure at all, trust me. It is. It's an excellent flick. It's and there's so many parts of it.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen it. I mean, I know the title. I'm pretty sure I haven't seen it, but you know, when I start to watch it, it could be one of those. There's several movies where I'm like, oh, yeah, I've never seen that. And then we'll pop it in or whatever, or find it. And I'm like, oh, crap, I've seen this. I know what you're talking about. Titles escaped, but I don't think I have.
Well, Boondock Saints is kind of like Reservoir Dogs. It's one of those movies that's excellent, but never turns up on any of the Netflix, Hulu things. For some reason, that's another one of those movies that you almost have to go out and buy on DVD to enjoy because it's never on any of the, you know, HBO Max or anything like that. So
I think I just did, when I did a search for it to post it, because I posted a link to it via Bing earlier just for St. Pat's Day movies on social media. I think one of the search questions was, is it on Netflix? And it said yes.
Oh, really? Oh, hell.
I do believe I saw that. Okay, we are definitely, if we're going to try to close on time, I know we did a buffer if needed, but if we're going to try to close on time or right near that time, you know, to go ahead and do plugs and stuff like that, and just so we don't forget, I want to make sure my plugs go a little bit wider because I was clearly remiss. Dr. John, Stay on the right track with recovery, brother. The Velvet, you got this. You got this. Anthony, it's a toe. How bad can it be? You got this. The just making sure for those that can be on the show with us tonight. Love you, miss you guys. All right.
Yeah,
so now we can actually do the formal stuff. I just wanted to make sure I got through that.
Ah, well done. Well done. Tim, did you have anything to throw in there?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and piggyback off of what Todd said, because I was going to mention all those that are either have some medical things coming up or just overall situation to deal with, thoughts and prayers and everybody. And on a positive note and kind of tying into that same subject, the wife talked to, we had an appointment at the neurologist today, and she is going to, although some of you might cringe at this, it's actually positive news. She's been suffering from a condition called trigeminal neuralgia for 4 years now. I think she was diagnosed 2017. And so anyway, she finally talked to a neurologist today because all these different medicines that they have her on just totally wipe her out, mess her up, and give her all kinds of crappy side effects. And sometimes they don't even do their job. They wear off, and she has this shocking pain, which is what it's all about, is a horrible, shocking pain through her face anyway. I'm trying to keep this short. Anyway, she talked to a neurologist, and she is going to go ahead and do surgery this summer. It's going to be pretty invasive. They will go in and cut away part of her skull and go in, but they are going to put some padding around there to separate the blood vessel and the nerve, which is what causes all that. So she actually is very excited for it. Because hopefully it will mean that this goes away. So it's her way. I'm proud of her for being able to tolerate as well as she can all the stuff she's gone through thus far, and hope that this is finally the end of the road coming up. So that's all I got.
Yeah, way to go, yeah. Way to go, Kim. I hope it comes well. Know a handful of folks that have actually gone through the tamponing to be able to do that, the skull removal piece, and actually the stuff to go back in. Glad it's 2021. It's a lot further along with that stuff. But, yeah, you're in our thoughts, prayers, and good karma your way, girl.
Yeah, most definitely, man. Wow. Yeah, that's scary as it is positive. You know what I mean? Good
yeah.
to hear that there's
yeah.
a solve, but, it's still a long road plowed, So, yeah, all our
yeah.
best to the wife, most certainly.
Yeah.
Well, for me, guys, I'm just going to throw out there that last week I had the honor of saying goodbye to an old friend, and he was put to rest with full military honors. Which we've spoken about before, that if you're able to sit through military honors without getting choked up, there is something wrong with you. And the precision and the execution that those Marines did was absolutely phenomenal. And it never ceases to amaze me. The level of honor that comes with that. So, yeah, that was one hell of a send-off. And moreover, just a little tip, folks, when you see a funeral procession, when you see the hearse and you see a line of cars with their hazard lights on behind the hearse, don't cut in to it. Let it go by and then execute your lane change. Please have a little class and don't cut in. So, with all that being said, we appreciate everybody.
Dale, tell someone. Yeah.
Dale's the, coming out with the pup here. And I guess it's P o'clock. But, yeah, I'm going to go inside, and I'm going to let the British lady have her way and sign us off. But, again, thank you, everybody, for listening. That's what she said. Let her have her way. Very good. Thank you, Todd. Well done. I got caught my pants down. That's what she said. Yes, yes. Okay. As I'm walking through the 100, 200 pounds of fur to my laptop here, finally made it. So, again, Dr. John, Anthony, good luck. Get better. And we appreciate everybody listening again to us carry on like a bunch of grumpy old men.
One alibi. Take care of yourselves. Take care of your family. Take care of one another. Big hugs.
Absolutely. And if you don't take care of yourself, it makes it damn hard for you to take care of others. So make sure you stay together. And it will all come to pass. So with all that being said, thank you again for listening to us carry on for an hour and a half. Y'all have a safe week, and we will talk to you, hopefully, if we don't have any technical issues like we did last week. We'll be talking to everybody. Yeah, that was a little and a quick apology for that, folks. We were all looking forward to doing the show. We were all gassed up, ready to go, and things on the tech side did not want to cooperate without throwing anybody under the bus. We were not at fault, but nevertheless, we move on, we overcome, we adapt, we keep getting it. So, and here we are tonight, 90 minutes, three guys carrying on from everything from brisket to Pepe Le Pew, right on back to, cancel culture and everything else. So, we mix it up pretty good. But
Happy St. Patrick's Day, group.
Absolutely. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Y'all be safe. And we will talk to you next Wednesday night, 2100 hours. Be here. Talk in a little bit.
Cheers,
later, all.